Soon many Southern Baptists will be going to Latin America, to Rio, to the Baptist World Congress meeting. Many of us will have opportunities to visit our missionaries and see something of our work there. Tonight we shall look through the eyes of one of our Latin American missionaries at some of the work in her country, in Venezuela. As Mrs. Charles B. Clark comes to tell us something of the work there, we want to remind ourselves that the missionaries' letters home mean more to us than they will ever know. And I'm sure that our letters to them mean more to them than we can realize. Mrs. Charles B. Clark will lead us in our missionary meditation, and after that, Dr. Robert Lindsay from Israel will lead us in our prayer.
The last day of our journey, we got up early so as not to miss the first glimpses of the hot tropical shores of our adopted country, Venezuela. As we caught sight of the little thatched-roofed huts built on stilts out over the water, we were reminded of the early explorers who, when they saw similar houses, were reminded of Venice, and in derision began to shout, "Venecia, Venecia," and thus Venezuela, meaning Little Venice, got its name. As we sailed through the narrow neck of the great Lake Maracaibo, we felt afresh the great responsibility that was ours to be faithful to the task to which God had called us and to which Southern Baptists had entrusted to us, that of witnessing to these people. It was a big task, for there are over 7 million people in Venezuela who live in an area the size of Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana put together. Less than 0.1% of these people are evangelicals. That is to say, less than 1 out of 1,000 know Christ as we know him. We were grateful that we are not alone in this task because we have God by our side, ever ready to strengthen and to help us. We are grateful for the undergirding prayers that go up from so many of our friends, known and unknown to us. What a challenge it is to us as we receive letters saying, "We prayed for you this morning," or "We pray for you each day," or "Each time our circle meets, we remember you in prayer." We are also grateful that there are 13 other Southern Baptist missionaries now serving in Venezuela. When we returned from furlough last time, there was only one other couple. Our eyes turned from the gently swaying palms to the great oil derricks, thousands of them out in the lake, as they silently pump the black gold from the depths of this great Lake Maracaibo. We were reminded that the early Spanish conquistadores came looking for gold and did not find it. But 20th century explorers have found black gold. This gold has brought much wealth to Venezuela, wealth that is in the hands of a few. It has also brought over 100,000 North Americans to Venezuela. Some who come do not represent well our United States and the cause of Christ. But among these who have come are some of our best Southern Baptist folks. They have made up 3 English language Baptist churches in Venezuela. They have meant much to us as individuals, and we are grateful to what they have meant to the cause of Christ there, as they have witnessed both in word and in action. As our boat docked at the pier, we saw down below the smiling faces and the waving hands of these our friends. There were the Garcias with their 11 children, the Becerras, the Machados, the Arajos. And we were grateful for these new Christians, for they were all new Christians, babes in the faith. A prayer welled up in our hearts that soon there would be others who could say, as Brother Arajo says, "I am grateful for what Christ has meant to me, for since I have him as my Lord and as my Savior, I have a joy and contentment that I never had before." Brother Arajo was invited to go to a revival service at our First Baptist Church in Maracaibo. He was the most influential man in his little community, but he was also very wicked. He owned the best little grocery store in the community. He was convicted of his sins, and he was converted. As he studied faithfully his Bible, he became convinced that he must sell his business because Although it was a grocery store, the main source of his income came from selling beer and liquor, and that on Sunday, because it was adjoining a baseball park where they played ball on Sunday. So he sold his little business, went downtown, bought a dried fish stall in the market there, and sells dried fish. He sold it at a financial loss, but Brother Araujo likes to testify that he did not lose, he gained in this new venture. Brother Araujo was not content just having this new joy and this new satisfaction that he had, but he wanted to share it with his friends and his neighbors. And so he said, "Won't you come to my house? Won't you come into my home and hold preaching service and tell my friends of this, my new friend?" And so we went. He'd used the chairs that he had formerly used to seat his customers in his beer parlor to seat his friends. He used the loudspeaker system connected with his jukebox to broadcast the message into the community as he put it on his front porch. They came and the work grew. They soon crowded out the little living room, so he said, "Well, we'll just tear down the wall between the living room and dining room to make room for more folks." This preaching service grew into a Sunday school. It was a glorious day when they were strong enough to organize into a church. They're poor, humble people, but faithfully giving of their tithes and offerings, they were able to buy the little lot next door. And there constructed a beautiful little building. If you were to look at this building, you would say, "My, do you call that beauty?" Perhaps comparing it to our modern church architecture, no. But when you realize the spirit and the sacrifice that went into this building, it is a beautiful building. When you realize the sweat and toil that it went into it as they worked out there in the sun, it is a beautiful building. We hope that they will not always remain in this little building, because we know as you give through the cooperative program, as you give through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we will be able to help them to construct a more adequate building to meet their needs. We'll be able to help them by loaning them a certain part of the money needed and by giving them a portion of this money. Certainly, this is a New Testament church, a church that started in the home of this our friend. As we ascended the gangplank, we prayed, "O Lord, help us be faithful to the task which is ours. Help us to share this good news that we have with others, that other such groups, other such congregations may be raised up, that other churches might grow to glorify his holy name."
I bring you greetings from Israel, a little state over on the other side of the Mediterranean, and want to tell you people here, first of all tonight, how very, very much we who work and labor in that country appreciate the work of Women's Missionary Union, all its auxiliaries, and all the churches which you people represent. I had the joy just very recently of going to Israel just a few weeks ago and helping out in the Billy Graham campaign which was held there. And Billy Graham preached three times in Jewish centers, Haifa, Jerusalem, and in Jaffa, and one time in our largest Arab center in Israel, which is in Nazareth. And it was a great joy to see in every place the crowds of people coming. A missionary who had been there 30 years, Dr. Churcher of Haifa, said as he pushed the doors to in the church that held about 700 in Haifa, "I have never seen so many Jews trying to get in to hear the gospel." In fact, he had been there 30 years and never seen anywhere near that many people in hundreds of services. But a very short time after it, in that same meeting, when Billy held up his hand, asked for people to hold up their hands, only a small number of hands were held to symbolize their acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And shortly after the meeting, Cliff Barras, the song leader for Billy Graham's team, stepped down to talk to some of the people, and one young man, nicely dressed, stepped up to him. And he said, "Cliff," he said, "there were a lot of us sitting there tonight hearing Billy, and it was a wonderful experience." And he said, "I'd like for you to know this. there were many of us that wanted to hold up our hands. But it's a physical impossibility in Israel. Now I know that these are the kind of things, these tremendous opportunities, these open doors and these closed doors, which must be in our hearts as we pray. There are two missionaries who are on the missionary calendar today, whose names I would remember before we come to pray: Mrs. J.E. Posey, Jr. of the Philippines, and J.M. Sanchez of Cuba. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are very grateful tonight for all the wonderful things that Thou hast given to us, Americans, which enable us to come to this marvelous meeting place and to see this well-planned program and these fine leaders who represent so much of the things that we long for in all of the work of the gospel. And how we rejoice and praise Thy name tonight, our Father, that these words which flash upon the screen, holding forth the word of life, are not empty words, but are real, living, burning words of truth, and that through us Thou hast chosen each one of us here to hold forth this word of life. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thy word tells us that this word of life centers around Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank Thee, therefore, our Father, that it's our privilege to know Him personally, and to know Him as He represents all that we know through Thy word, the Scriptures. We pray, our Father, for the millions and millions and millions and more millions in this world today who do not know this marvelous word of life, Jesus Christ. We pray for those many who have heard about Him but very dimly, but would like to know Him really. We pray for hungry hearts everywhere who do not know that the secret of life is in Jesus Christ. And we pray for these whose names we've mentioned tonight, and the others who illustrate to us these vast numbers struggling to find Thee, wanting to know Thee, often hindered, often not knowing how to get to Thee because of all those things around them. Teach us, our Father, each of us in his own way, to slough off from his own life those things that would keep him from being a messenger of this word of life, and help all of those who serve on foreign fields and in this land, this wonderful land of ours, that every knee shall come and bow before him whom to know aright is truly life eternal. Amen.
Turn now, please, to hymn number 47 as we sing Jesus Shall Reign, Where the Sun Does His Successive Journeys Run. Hymn number 47. We stand as we sing, please.
Now Mrs. Max T. Ward will sing for us, O Divine Redeemer, by Gounod.
Smite me, the right. just mine anger, O Lord. Shield me in danger, O regard thee. On thee, Lord, alone will I go.
We belong to a great, warm-hearted, growing denomination that is seeking to spread the gospel around the world. Tonight, we want to look at our missionary work in the various countries where our Foreign Mission Board has sent missionaries. will be led tonight by Dr. Baker James Coffin, the Executive Secretary of the Foreign Mission Board. This wonderful, missionary-hearted leader of ours leads us on and on to greater heights in all phases of foreign mission work. We're happy tonight, Dr. Coffin, to welcome you to this platform and to turn this program over to you.
Madam President, and friends of Woman's Missionary Union, there is no engagement in a year that brings to any representative of the Foreign Mission Board more sense of joy and gratitude than that which brings us to speak to you. For you represent the heartbeat of world missions. That has been so clearly demonstrated in just the recent past. 1 year ago, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering laid upon the altar the most magnificent gift ever laid at one time on behalf of foreign missions. It was a magnificent figure 12 months ago. I want to read it to you, for you will remember it. This is history. 1 year ago, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering amounted to $6,762,000 plus. That was a magnificent offering. But this year, when I say this year, I mean the Christmas offering so recently received and now at just this time coming to its close, there has come a new high peak in missionary giving. And tonight it's my very great joy to announce a total of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That total is $7,706,847.29. That amount is $944,000 more than the offering 1 year ago. Now may I ask, please, that your honored president will please stand, and your executive secretary. And standing with them, may we ask that every state president and every state executive secretary of Woman's Missionary Union, would you please stand wherever you are? On behalf of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention and 1,432 missionaries laboring around the world in 44 countries, I want to express to you the deep gratitude that we feel for this magnificent gift of love to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Translated into what is done with this money across the world, this great figure of $7,700,000 means preachers of the gospel telling the story up and down the world. Women with Bibles in their hands calling in homes. Schools opening their doors to young people, boys and girls. Seminaries training Christian workers. Hospitals ministering to the sick. And ministries of love and mercy flowing out to places of need. It means missionaries laboring for the master. It means buildings for schools, hospitals, churches, and mission residences. You have labored far more wisely than you know. Wherever the sun is shining, wherever God's servants go to tell the story, you have labored in making it possible. We can only wait until at some bright day we gather around our Master's throne to find all this wonderful offering means. Madam President, may God's richest blessings ever be upon you and your co-workers and Woman's Missionary Union. For you do this not for the glory of even your own beloved organization, nor the Southern Baptist Convention, nor the Foreign Mission Board, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God's richest blessings ever be upon you to the glory of the Master's name. Thank you, and you'll be seated. Tonight we come to tell the story of foreign missions. That labor is carried on in three broad areas. Immediately to the south of us, to the land where many will be going shortly, the land of Latin America. There go many missionaries. The first of the three broad...